We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
True Faith Newcastle United podcast. We're through. We beat Crystal Palace on penalties by 3-2 in one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. Nice to win them. You've got myself, Alex, Charlotte, Ben and Si. We're recording immediately after the match in our Collingwood Street office in the heart of the city. Charlotte, are you buzzing?
I don't know about buzzing. I'm really pleased to be through. We've just before recording, we've started talking about the other results tonight. Some really big teams are out of the running, so I think that opens up the competition a bit more. We don't have to play another round. We don't have to play until after the World Cup. I think the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's nice, isn't it? Because we're now playing the Christmas week.
Yeah, yeah. So we've Christmas got week. Extra games in there, but that's good. We don't have tons of players out of the World Cup. So hopefully we've got, you know, an opportunity to improve because we really need to improve. It was just boring, to be honest. Like, for most of that game, the first half, I was thinking, Si's doing match day for Patreon. Like, how boring is that going to be? Like, there's been no action. And because it's a cup game, even though it was a sellout cup game, it was like still a little bit kind of flat. The corner was loud and it was good. But I'm buzzing to be through. I think we've got a real opportunity given the other results. But I'm not like on a high after that match, if that makes sense.
Does make sense. Just had a look. The draw isn't until tomorrow night, which is annoying. Would love to present that live on the True Faith podcast, even though people will be listening to it retrospectively. Ben, you know what? Well, there's lots to talk about. Maybe there's lots to talk about.
There isn't. Let's go.
But I want to know how you feel. Like, have you got cup fever? Are you thinking, you know what? It's all about Chelsea now. Are you thinking, you know what? What is this now? This is the fourth round of the League Cup we're in. We're two games from a semi-final. Job done.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was just saying that aside, especially the other results, it's a massive, massive opportunity. I mean, there's not a huge number of teams left in it that I would say can kind of compete with us if we play the team that finished the game there. We were the much better side. And you think as well, just to put it in a little bit of context, Palace came here pretty much, other than Zaha and Eze, like that was pretty much their Premier League team that will play most weeks.
Was it?
Yeah, like it was, I think the keeper maybe was the only one.
They were fucking terrible if that's the case.
But it was a strong Palace team and they couldn't really break us down. I mean, they had a couple of opportunities, kind of balls in the back. But kind of our bit part team as it was, kind of dealt with them pretty comfortably. And when the real lads came on in the second half, like there was only one team that was going to win it and we just lacked a little bit of quality. But yeah, it's a big opportunity. I think it's a good result. We've got through it. Ultimately in cup games, it doesn't matter how you play. It's just getting through to the next round. And yeah, it does potentially set us up. Let's see who we get in the draw. But it's a massive, massive opportunity.
Sorry, we're through, but you look good.
Yeah, I was shite.
It was
really shite game of football. It was a hard watch, wasn't it? Especially the first half. And I'm a little bit worried about how I thought some of the players who were getting their opportunity tonight might show us something different, like your Andersons and your, I suppose like Target did okay. But yeah, tough watch. No real football was played until, as you say, Ben, like four or five of the first team has come into the last 20 minutes of the game. We had a bit of a go at them then. It started to play like a bit of a match. There was a bit of an atmosphere for the last 20 minutes because it did play like a friendly for the first 60 minutes. It was kind of like there's kids behind us at the match saying, oh, who's that one and who's that one? Because it just felt like an exhibition match. There was no atmosphere. There was nothing happening, no drama. And neither side really laid a glove because it was just loads of mistakes being made. Us passing the ball out of play, them kicking it so long it was going straight to Nick Pope. Like, it was just not. It was really hard to watch. So yes, it's been a long night, but yeah, ultimately I'm very pleased that we're through the cup because, as you have all just said, it is a massive opportunity. Eddie Howe keeps talking about how he wants to win silverware, and honestly, like, the League Cup, I don't know when the final is this year. I presume it's still like March time. It's weird that we're playing just the third round in November, but you know, it's still a competition that if we get towards the final, there'll be some excitement, and it'll be nice to be able to say, well, I was there for the third round when we beat Palace on pens, because I think that's the only second time in Newcastle's history, certainly in my lifetime, that we've won a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen us in a penalty shootout at St James's Park in the flesh myself. So that was nice to be part of. But after about 60 minutes, I was willing pens because I thought at least that'll be entertaining, because yeah, the match itself was shite.
26th of February, Si. Sunday, the 26th of February.
Wow.
That's the final. And then if we get through on Christmas week, then it's basically you've got the FA Cup weekend and then straight into the quarterfinal if we get there. So that's pretty quick. Doesn't seem that far away, does it? Week commences 9th of Jan. Let's talk about the team. Newcastle are through. We're all delighted. I think we've demonstrated that to you all. The team... It's one of those tonight where like you say, Si, about 60 minutes, I'm thinking if we go out here, it doesn't look great. And that's the thing about Eddie Howe. He's a very, very good manager, but he's also, I think, I don't want to say lucky because I don't think Palace deserved anything from that game tonight. But I don't know whether these managers speak to each other, because imagine if Newcastle put a full strength team out there. Like, I assume we would have won 10-0. That's how bad Palace were. Mm. That's how limited Palace were. Pretty exaggeration, but I'm in an exaggerating mood. What do you think, Charlotte? The team that played, are there any positives from anyone who played, or was it all just a series of negatives for the lads who aren't class?
No, it's not fair to just call that a series of negatives. They've got to be positives. That everything has...
Let me put some negatives to you then.
Oh.
I thought that Elliot Anderson really struggled tonight,
yeah,
which is a shame. I was really excited to see him play. I thought that Javier Manquillo and Jonjo Shelvey looked like two players who haven't played a game of football all season.
ASM as well. Stick him in that bucket. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the bucket's filling. And Chris Wood had a Chris Wood game.
Yeah.
Am I wrong though? Tell me. I'd love to be wrong.
No, you know, I was going to try and pick some little positives out, but then you butt in with your negatives and now I feel like crying. No, you know, those players need game time. They need proper game time. So there's a positive there. And it's also a positive kind of, in a way, this is kind of a negative, and I'm going to try and turn it into a positive. If that's not a wake-up, if tonight's game is not a wake-up call for our owners and our recruitment people, that we are currently third in the Premier League, if we go into Europe next year, either the Conference or the Champions League, will crash out immediately if that's our backup team. There is absolutely no way that team is ready, and we need to strengthen. So the positive has got to be, for me, that we've managed to showcase that well in advance of the January window. We've got some time to strengthen, see how we go with the league, obviously, but if we continue in the same vein with the class sort of starting 11, we absolutely need a much, much more class second 11 or second 8, maybe, because we made changes, because that group of players isn't ready for Europe.
Yeah, fair enough. Ben, you know, the players we've talked about, I think one of the things we talked about in the Patreon preview was we play a very specific way, and maybe it's hard, particularly for players outside of the team, to come in and replicate that intensity. Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing I would say is at least Eddie's kind of seeing what the players are capable of. I mean, ultimately, he's still learning about a lot of these players. Obviously, Anderson, they've kept him with the club this season because he impressed in pre-season. He's not had a huge number of opportunities in it. I think what tonight showed was he's not a Premier League quality winger, but he might be better kind of dropping into a midfield three potentially, because there was a couple of moments. I mean, he's got something about him. I don't know what exactly it is. He's got a decent touch. He's kind of got a kind of quick initial sort of burst of pace, or whatever. But yeah, he struggled. Kind of, he couldn't beat his man tonight. Was the issue. And when he did get the one opportunity, he kind of got muscled off it. I just don't think he's kind of powerful enough. But then I suppose it's his first season, getting used to this as well. It's an opportunity for these players to kind of understand what level they need to get up to to be forcing themselves into the first team. So I think there's plenty Eddie will have learned from it. I think there's a lot of players there, obviously. Lascelles, Manquillo probably aren't really, what you were talking about there, Shaw, probably aren't here for the future. They were players of the past that are still about. And I think he's just ultimately trying to get them a bit of game time, kind of a little bit of a favour, maybe, to them, to say, keep them involved. I mean, ultimately as well, I think this is the thing that you have to appreciate as well for a manager that we as kind of fans never talk about. But ultimately, he's got a squad of 25 lads there that he's got to keep all of them engaged at all points, because say Trippier gets injured again, who's playing right back? It's probably going to be Manquillo get called upon at some point. So he's got to kind of keep him engaged and make sure he's at least had a bit of game time. He understands how they're playing, all that sort of stuff, and just keeping him motivated that he's going to get opportunities. So there's a lot of valuable things that this game has done. Okay, whether you would call them positives, I don't know, but I think it will have been a good learning piece for Eddie to kind of see where the squad's at the moment.
I think that it was poor, and it probably is indicative of our need to strengthen if we're going to have a European campaign next season as well. But there were some positives. Jonjo Shelvey, I thought, was really good. He looked sharp.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got himself fit. Obviously, Nick Pope was mint. you're right, Ben. The fact that he's just trying to bring these players. I mean, Javier Manquillo has played like 10 minutes a season. Lascelles played at Liverpool, but I can't think of any of the games in which he started. He's come off a couple of times.
Yeah. Follow movies, I think.
So, there was an obvious lack of match fitness there. The same could be said about Maximan. The same could be said about Anderson. The same could be said about Chris Wood. And it probably comes down a little bit to what you said, is that basically it was a nigh on full strength Palace team who are all Premier League match fit, and that difference just showed. I thought we weren't really at their level, but they didn't lay a glove on us. So there's different ways to look at it, you know. Like we gave them a game. We were sloppy this week. I will say sloppy in the true meaning of the word sloppy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't sloppy because we were trying things. We were just a bit shit and giving the ball away a lot. But yeah, I just think there are positives to be taken from the fact that our second team with a few of the real lads in. Gave them a game. It was a bad game, but gave them a game and didn't look like losing it. And then how reacted to the situation, thought, well, we're not going to score here unless I bring on Bruno, Miggy, Trippier, etc. So he did that early enough to try and impact the game. It did. We had a good few chances towards the end, and then we've won on pens. Like, that's kind of the way League Cup games go. For good teams, you know, they all put out loads of players who've barely kicked the ball because it's the only chance they're going to get. And yeah, I think we've probably got to get used to that a little bit.
Wood should have scored as well just after half time. Like, misses a great chance.
Yeah.
If he puts that away, then it's probably a very different game. We're talking about it's great that Chris Wood's got 2-2 and kind of kicking on. So it's fine margins, isn't it? And I think as well, the thing with Wood, I do feel sorry for him because you've got Anderson and Maximan just did not put one ball in the box. I think Maxi put one ball in and it went to the back post to Anderson, who lost the header and we got a corner from it. But it's like the service Wood had all night. I think we said it was like Lascelles long balls up to him where he was just chasing them, kind of lost cause. And we just don't play to Chris Wood, unfortunately. I think it's just not a good fit. But like, we've got him. We've got to try and kind of find a way of using him better.
Yeah, so Palace, 6 changes tonight. Newcastle, 8. But also within those changes, Dan Burns playing out of position. I get what you're saying, and Newcastle are through, and I suppose it's one of those games, and like I was saying before, Eddie Howe being not lucky, but if we hadn't gone through tonight, there probably would have been questions asked of that team selection. Mm. I quite like the fact you can kind of... We've got a Premier League team at home. The Premier League team, by the way, in Palace have only lost 4 games this season, so they're no mugs. We saw that at St James's Park. And like one of these has just said there, there was only one team going to win that tonight, and it wasn't Palace. You know, Palace left Eze and Zaha off the bench, which was a big call. So it was like, if it's kind of the opposite of what Newcastle have been suffering, or certainly earlier in the season that Newcastle had so little off the bench against decent opposition. Newcastle's bench made that game incredibly stronger, or our game incredibly stronger tonight. And I suppose that, you know, in terms of conversations about team selection and Europe moving forward, there is a positive there that if we do have to make 8 or 9 changes for a fixture, I'm looking ahead to the FA Cup third round potentially, then there's a strong possibility that we can put these kinds of teams out, get some of the positives you guys have talked about in terms of minutes into legs, particularly in the case of Mancura and Shelvey, and still come through and still be in the next round. So that's really, really positive. I mean, one of you there, Si, was you said you thought Shelvey had a good game. I thought he was... I was delighted to see him back. You know, Shelvey, it's the mannerisms. It's the head down when he's got to run somewhere like a huffy child. You know, I've missed it. You know, he's up for it now, I wonder already how, and he's slimmer and leaner. But he's still, if we've got to throw in and he's across the pitch and he's got to run, he can't help himself with the old, like, head down.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose I better go and pop the ball off to Mancio and slice it out of play. It was nice to see him back. I mean, Chelsea's a massive game. We're going to preview it fully on Patreon. Any team selection headaches for Howe? And I think the key ones here, and I'll open it to all of you, are ASM and Shelvey. Is there anything changing? And Joe Linton, in fact. Joe Linton's got to come back in, potentially.
No. I'd consider playing Joe Linton as part of the front three. I wouldn't start Maxi.
Oh, it's a big call. Joe Linton part of the front three.
Against Chelsea, though.
It's a big call. He's been brilliant as a midfielder. We love him as a midfielder, but part of the front three?
Doing the same thing he did against Villa, where he's interchanging with Willock. I don't mind that, because, yeah, you kind of want him in the midfield. You want him in the mix, kicking ass, but I'd back him to be more effective than Maxi most tonight. Maxi doesn't look fit yet. I just don't. You maybe bring him on for half an hour. I would not be starting that game with Alan Saint-Maximin. And yes, Shelvey, he does look... He looks a lot more ready to come back into the team than Maxi did, but you cannot start anyone ahead of Willock, Longstaff and Bruno on Saturday.
I thought they took a little bit of time to bed in together, but I suppose at the Villa game, the Joe Linton-Willock partnership, but I think that's because of the way Villa were trying to play us as well, like just compact and compress, which I don't think will be how Chelsea handle those two. I wouldn't bring ASM in, like, after tonight. He's not ready. He didn't look like he was enjoying it really either. And
to be fair, did you see who he's playing with there? I don't know if I could have got myself up for that game.
I thought it was really positive. He was boys. Playing with Target, who he's had so much success with, but it just didn't happen, did it?
No. But I guess it's lack of game time. It's coming back from injury. It's seeing everybody else get really class and, like, being behind, which, you know, ASM's a massive personality as well as player. And that can't be easy for him as a human man. So I think that's probably an element of it. I think he'll get back to his best. But it depends where we are at 60 minutes against Chelsea as well. If it's a 0-0 or we've only got a 1-0 lead or something like, or they're ahead, God forbid, I wouldn't bring him on. I don't think it's, I'd want to kind of try and protect our lead. I don't know. I didn't enjoy watching him tonight. I'm being harsh.
The only thing I would add is Rhys James isn't at Chelsea anymore with his injury. It's probably going to be Azpilicueta I think he's played the last game in Europe for them. So obviously he's fairly old, not quite got the pace he had in his early career. Who's going to hurt him more? It's probably going to be the Willock or ASM really getting at him. So it's an interesting one. Obviously you want Joe Linton on the pitch because he's such
a presence.
Covers so much ground, yeah. Puts players under pressure, like puts opposition. I mean, the number of times tonight where he won balls that he just had no right. There was one where there was a couple of challenges went in and then he kind of brought a ball down that was fired across the pitch and he kind of brought it down on his chest and kind of kept the attack going. Like he offers just something that none of the others do. And he's just like a bulldozer all over the pitch. And I suppose it's where do you want
that?
I put him in midfield because like I think, head off. I think I'll move Willock further up probably and play Willock as the one of the front three. Almost like switch him and Joe Linton basically in their positions, just because I think Willock is so much better when he does his best stuff in the final third when he's running up teams. I mean, tonight he made a couple of runs where Trippier kind of misplaced the ball, kind of just put it ahead of him, but at least he was kind of challenging the fullback and getting at them and putting them in positions where they don't want to be. Whereas I feel like Joe Linton doesn't make those runs and he does so much more when he's in the midfield. He's more industrious in that kind of realm, whereas actually Willock is kind of, he can't do that and he's brilliant at it, but I feel like his best part of his game is the attacking element. And for me, I probably, It's an interesting one. For me, it's Willock or ASM on in that attacking three.
I thought it was interesting Longstaff got the nod in midfield. And he's all legs, Longstaff. He's got the engine, but it did suggest to me that if there was someone to drop out, it might be Longstaff. And that would mean moving Willock across to right side, where he's been playing left, but he's right-footed. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We have to do an advert break. I forgot earlier in the show. We're on Patreon. It's from £3 a month for ad-free podcasts and lots more Newcastle United podcasts just like this that we do. Please get involved. We'll be back with the rest of the show after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about penalties. The game was 0-0. Newcastle could have won it through Miguel Almiron. Keeper made a good save. Miggy, you know, was just on the pitch. The penalties, I don't know where she would start. Well, I do know where we should start. Let's start with Nick Pope. 3 penalties saved out of 5 is obscene. That's obscene. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, they weren't bad penalties either. They were good penalties. Palace took better pens than us. and they're out because we've got Nick Pope. I was musing after the game, walking out. 10 million. It's a bit like the Bruno situation where, really, Premier League clubs, you've let Nick Pope go to Newcastle for £10 million. What's wrong with you? Who wants to talk about Nick Pope?
The first pen save in particular is world class. It's right in the corner. It's Milivojevic who scores pens for fun. Yeah. That's all he does for Crystal Palace is score loads of pens. But Nick Pope just read him like a book, right in the corner. Like it's going in off the post, and he gets right across and saves it. The other two aren't great, but Pope's made himself big and done enough to put them off that they've tried something silly and just like dinked it at him basically. But yeah, no. What keeper is winning you a pen shootout 3 times because he won that for us 3 times there? Like, yeah, absolutely unreal.
He really does, like, I know that this is what they do before penalty shootouts, but he really does make himself big. Like,
he's massive, isn't he?
Such a huge presence in the goal. Like,
big wingspan.
Huge wingspan. And I just, I was watching it and I don't even know what to say that Simon hasn't said. He's just fucking class. And it was... Yeah, that was all down to him. Us being in the fourth round is entirely down to him, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's hard to disagree. And, you know, Sven Botman is for Newcastle. I am the expert on penalties, of course, at professional level. I thought his angles were quite bad. It didn't look right. It didn't look right when he stepped up to take it. He wasn't straight on. There was a slight angle. And I thought, Sven, you're going to hit this to the right, which he did. It wasn't in the corner. It was high. When the keeper saves like that, I think it's a good save. But a bit of a funny one to see a centre back step up and take a pen. I'm not sure about that.
I was surprised when because I guess I had assumed it would be like Miggy or someone.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is that a 4 on the back of his? Is that Sven Botman? And then I was like, oh, he's not a goal scorer. Like it's not like he's like, you know, like Cher sometimes scores incredible goals and like has that kind of goal scoring confidence. He hasn't done that for us yet. He may yet add that to his game, but he hasn't done that for us yet. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I don't have a good feeling about this. I'd love to be proved wrong, but sadly,
who took the first one for us?
Wood.
So
Wood. That's what he's here for.
Yeah.
Pens and
Wood, Trippier.
Wood and Trippier, great pens.
Yeah. Joe Linton as well, great pen.
Joe Linton, great pen.
All 3 in the side netting, like there's no saving those 3 pens.
I mean, Joe Linton's the keeper even went the right way and just couldn't get his hands on it.
Class pen, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Go on, Ben.
No, I was just going to say, it's an interesting one, but like, I kind of wonder, it was almost like it was kind of the leaders or like the kind of the spirit of the team that were taking them. So other than Chris Wood, although maybe he is the spirit. Maybe he's the spirit animal of the... of the team, but yeah, I mean, obviously Trippier, Joe Linton, Bruno, and Botman kind of now like, and I suppose that's kind of harsh, Miggy, but like they are kind of the driving force behind this team. Obviously, the two Brazilians in midfield have been unbelievable. Trippier has been like the leader since he's come, and you feel like Botman's the solid kind of leader in that back four now.
You're telling me we choose our penalty takers on popularity?
I think so.
Which would explain Sven Botman's pen.
Yeah, probably
because he's cool AF.
Nah, I don't know. Who knows? But I mean, do you know
well,
what?
Well, hang on. We do know that would be ridiculous. Yeah. We know that they don't do that.
Who knows?
No, though, but really? He stepped up. He stepped up. And yeah, it didn't go
still
in. Still
look good while missing that same thing. Yeah, still look good.
Yeah, it could go in another week. If the keeper dives out the way, then that's the best pen I've ever seen.
Someone, if he scores, it would be great. Yeah, exactly. Someone, he didn't have like the very best game ever on Sunday. And some, I think one of the writers in the writers group was like, even a Rolls Royce hits the curb sometimes. Which I quite liked. Oh, well.
Great line.
Let's talk about Bruno's penalty.
Oh, no.
Fucking hell, Bruno.
I don't want to. I just want to love him. And I couldn't love that.
You can't. We can laugh.
Yeah, true.
We'd be foaming. We'd have to criticise him before we sat here after a defeat, Ben.
Do you know what? I think he was trying to just show a bit of solidarity for his Brazilian mates. Do you know they've all been getting slated for this samba, like dancing celebration stuff? I think he tried to incorporate that into the run-up and it just... It didn't work.
He did have some fancy footwork.
It was incredible.
The thing is, like, are there going to be highlights and stuff? Because I didn't see any cameras at the game.
Yeah, there's highlights.
There will be. I was like, is it like what happens here stays here? So he can just do something wild because it's not on the telly and it's not going to be anything. Like, he can just go as mental as he likes. And then if people are like, that was weird, he can just be like, no, I did a normal one. It was normal.
Yeah, he looked to me like a man who'd never seen a penalty taken before. It was such a bad penalty. Reminds me, funnily enough, in our True Faith podcast group today, we organise our shows for Patreon. Someone referenced Papa Cisse's penalty against Olympiacos back in 2012 when me and you were there, Ben, in the Algarve tournament.
Oh, yes.
Coincidentally, we hadn't travelled to the Algarve to watch Newcastle, and then Newcastle turned up to play. It was really handy. Missed the Olympics.
We were doing the stadium tour just by accident. There was a match going on in Newcastle.
Yeah, there's Ryan Taylor curling one in. And Papi Cisse's pen was so bad it went out of the stadium. And Bruno's pen was so bad that if that was played at a smaller stadium, it would be in Leeses Park, in the pond. But we couldn't forgive him. It was a nice moment. I think, Ben, you said in our Matchday podcast with patrons that, you know, essentially it's Bruno thought, I'm not going to take this moment away from Nick Pope, didn't he?
Exactly. I mean, as I'd said, I'll repeat myself, but yeah, he's obviously been pleading for Miggy to get player of the month, and this was Nick's chance to shine, and he's obviously desperate for him to get the number one England shirt. I'm hoping Gareth Southgate's been glued to the pens like we were, and that might be the nod that gets him over the line over Pickford, hopefully, his fingers crossed.
He was just knackered by the time he got to the ball, wasn't he? He started like the right-hand side of the box, did like sidesteps right the way to the left-hand side post, then started sprinting towards the ball, then slowed down, did a little twinkle thing, and then kicks the ball as hard as he possibly can. Like, so many things wrong with every step of that movement. Like, yeah, it's like he was just taking the piss, or someone had like bet on him to do something silly. Like,
was it not that he's been watching like the best pen takers, and he's like taking a little bit off everyone? So like the Jorginho stutter thing, the like, I'm sure there's some great pen takers run miles out to their left and then swing back in, and then obviously everyone always says hit it as hard as you can.
The keeper also doesn't move. He's just looking at him like, are you gonna take it or what, mate?
Oh, he felt like you could see he put his head in his shirt after, and just like, and was so slow going back to the rest of the team, because when Botman missed his, went straight back up, Lascelles ran straight over to
when
him.
When Botman missed, the rest of the team gave him a round of applause.
Yeah.
As I say, it was a great pen if the keeper moves out of the way.
Sven, text me back.
I love that. That's exactly what we wanted. You're perfect. No, he took ages to come back, and they really are a lovely team. They all like, you know, hug each other, and they're like, you know, it's not a big deal. But of course it was a massive deal.
Well, we've got Nick Pope. That's why it wasn't a big deal. It's all right. He'll save you. Yeah.
We're through. It was a big week for Newcastle United with this crucial game in our season, because this is a great opportunity. Six London clubs went out this week. Thank God. We don't have to play a London team in the next round. Bournemouth can fuck off, though, in terms of a trip to Bournemouth in December. Can't be arsed with that midweek. We'd have to send someone, True Faith. But anyway, it's a great opportunity. Arsenal have gone out tonight. And that's the thing. We're being slightly critical. I mean, the game was... if there are people who listen to this, I don't think I can suitably demonstrate how bad a game of football this was. It was fucking dreadful. But at the end of the day, we're through. That's the only thing that matters. We know we're still a class football team. We know we're still the third best team in the Premier League currently. And sometimes you have an off night when you make 8 changes. That's okay. Crucially, we're in the bag for the next round. I can't wait to see who we get. We've got Chelsea on Saturday. It's an enormous game. Get on Patreon. Come and join us for that one, for the build-up. We've got an opposition preview. We've got a preview of the match itself and one or two other things, as well as the normal match day content. We'll be back with the free show on Sunday morning. I think it might be us four doing it. Can't wait to bring you that, particularly if we win, which we will, because we're class. Thanks to you three for joining me on the podcast straight after the game. I'm going to let you go home to bed now. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.